March 15, 2009. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Cigarette.
cigarette smoke has stained the windshield brown, and broken dreams litter the dashboard. This old highway is staring back at me. She's laughing hard. She's showing me her teeth. The desert heat is a motherfucker this time of year. The radio's buzzing and the rain is pissing. The tires are moaning like a pregnant mule. And the skyline is helicopter black. The smash machine rides hard but true. Through a West Texas night she crawls. High as the sky on the low side of the road. Watt from Pedro Show, Sunday here in Pedro, the Ides of March. You think of Ides of March, it's always about Caesar getting stabbed.
Et tu, Brute.
But Ides, I think, means half moon. And I think it was on the 15th of in the Roman calendar, March. May.
There's up to half of the month.
October. There's one other month. Maybe July. So all the other months, the other 8 months, it's on the 13th. Well, I think the moon was big deal. You know, a lot of calendars were based on that. So the Ides of March were halfway through, but then had all another meaning. In fact, he had a. The story goes, you know what a soothsayer is?
Foreteller of...
It can read the future. Mm-hmm. And they said, watch out. And on the way to the Senate to announce, you know, I'm Caesar now, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the boss. Because what Rome, the Republic used to elect a dictator for wartime, and then you were supposed to step down when the trouble's over. And he says to the soothsayer, oh, the Ides of March have come. And the soothsayer said, yeah, but they haven't left yet. And he got stabbed right up on,
in fact, he
I
said,
think
beware,
on the stairs.
Beware the Ides of March.
Well.
That was before.
No, yeah, you're probably confusing the Shakespeare, like the Et tu, Brute.
Appropriated it?
But there was a, no, he's just making drama. They're called the history plays. Drama out of history things. But there was a historian that wrote about, that was pretty contemporary at the time. I don't know if that was available to Shakespeare. He knew what he was talking about, though, a lot. Mm-hmm. But Et tu, Brute means you too. Because Brutus was his friend. Actually, I think there's two Brutuses in on it. Kind of a common name. We started to show off with John Coltrane, Like Sonny, take two. Now, it's a short version because someone clammed and they had to stop the take. So I thought of playing that today since Bob's been to a couple of the early Missing Men gigs. We brought the Missing Men back after 7 months, and the idea of clams. It's on his mind. You flowed advice?
Observations, but pearls come from clams. So.
What, take a man pill ain't advice? No, thanks, Bob.
It was a great story.
I passed the words on to Tom and Raul, and they were very, very grateful.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes feedback like that can be taken wrong, and when it's in print, it doesn't always get the subtleties, don't come through.
After John Coltrane... We played a song called Outside Abilene by a band called Cable. Now, these cats in Cable making a record with Joel Hamilton. Joel Hamilton, partner Tony Mamone at Studio G in Brooklyn, and that's where we're going to make Missing Men album. But I had worked with Joel. He's part of this thing called Book of Knots. Projects he's got with Tony. They had me do some spiel and improvise and play up there in the studio when I was doing a gig in San Francisco. A place called Red Telephone. But these cats in Cable, we're recording with them. And Joel asked me to read some lines. He flowed me. So that's what you're hearing at the end of that song. Kind of a collaboration, but I didn't write them. I just read them. Lydia Lunch, she's done a bunch of collaborations. She's got a new thing out. I'll just play some of her music that just came out by her.
Now you broke my heart again. I saw you like a dream on the TV screen. I wish you were singing just to me. Whisper in my ear about the diamond sea. Wake up weeping about the time that we were down by the river, it's just you and me. Said I had to go, you said you understand. Another miserable tale about another man. Drunken, almost lose my mind. Steal a car across the Mason-Dixon line. Fuck me now, I'll break your heart again. Filthy little angel in your dirty dreams. Wish you were singing just to me. Miserable tale about another man. There's a hole in my heart that only you can mend. Let's break the clock and start all over again. Kiss until we're drunk and almost lose our minds. Steal a car and cross the Mason-Dixon line. Fuck me now, I'll break your heart again. Filthy little angel in your dirty dream. You were singing just to me, whisper in my ear about the diamond sea.
Watt from Pedro show. Yeah, Teenage Jesus and the Jerks is the band she had first, but then she had one called Eight Eye Spy, and they played at the Troubadour. It was an infamous gig, I think, with Fear. Someone was stabbed to death in the club, I remember.
Hence the term Stab City.
It was a long time ago, but she did some reunion shows with Thurston on bass, Teenage Jesus and Jerks. But right there, we started off with her doing Thirsty, and that's a duet album she's got, Lydia Lunch and Philippe Petit, so I guess Little Philly. And he's got a lot of bands, a lot of collaborations he does. He's in the south of France, and does a turntable, a lot of the music like he mixes in. And so we played something of his after called Crystallize It, in his band Strings of Consciousness. And then something new from Lydia called Big Sexy Noise is the name of the band. And, it's a Lou Reed song called Kill Your Sons, if you know that one. It's a great tune. But she's collaborated with this band called Gallon Drunk. And then we played something from them called Some Fool's Mess. So she's out there. She's got something else she's doing too. So she's in full charge mode, which is great. Yeah. We got some guests here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point.
Pedro locals.
Yeah, in fact, they're from, maybe not the Pleasure Point, but close. It's a San Pedro band called Song of the Whales.
Welcome.
Song of the Whales.
Song of the Whales.
Yeah. Now introduce yourself and what you play.
I'm Mikey, and I play guitar, and I sing.
My name is Will, and I play the drums.
I'm Baker, and I play the bass.
And we're Song of the Whales.
Bassman Baker. Okay, now, I know you guys from Pete Mazich's organ player for Second Man. He's in a band called Angry Johnny.
Johnny.
And he's got a drummer. And one of you is his sons.
Yeah.
Hi.
Sweet.
Oh,
sorry.
Aww.
And it's a little nepotism. See, I told you the witty thing is way better than the planking and plastic sack. Pete, in the little pad in the back of this pad,
cool studio setup,
has a like a John Coltrane on the leash. I think it's Philly. Philly? No, I'm on the show right now. Here, you want to talk?
So when is a good moment to call you?
Well, I thought you were going to flow the address on, with that girly tech shit. Okay. Yeah. Alles klar. That means all clear. German. Philly's brother-in-law of Jay Maskus.
Oh.
And he's a filmmaker. Cool. He's in town. He's a great cat. Philly Virus. So, Pete made a studio in the little pad in the back of his pad. And he's been recording people. And Song of the Whales.
That's right.
Did... four tunes with him?
Well, we actually did like nine, but four of them are mixed.
Okay. Done. So you're doing a whole album?
Well, it's kind of like...
We kind of just recorded a bunch of songs. Yeah. We don't know what we're going to do with them.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Just kind of going on impulse.
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
Yeah, well, speaking of impulse, what was the impulse to start the band? Now, you guys are kind of younger Pedro people.
Yeah.
Start from the Stunods. Well, we were proper.
We were in a band called the Stunods last year, and
Stunods.
If anybody doesn't know, a Stunod means
you guys
like.
Are you Italian?
No, well, a little bit.
Pedro influenced, right?
Yeah, because Stunod is an idiot.
We had a couple. I don't know. Fatty was in the band. Anyway, I'm not Italian, but.
But Stunod, Pedro, you're right. There's
an idiot
out there.
The name was fitting.
A Stunod is an idiot in Italian, I guess, but. Like, we had, it was kind of like a punk surf ska band, kind of. And
how long ago?
Like, all last year.
About
a long time ago.
Probably last spring through this winter, and that's when we stopped.
Way back.
Back in the day, you know.
Yeah, spring 08, man.
But we played some shows and stuff, and, like, we started getting into a lot of, like, 80s hardcore stuff, and then, like, we got too deep into it, and it just got kind of stupid, so we wanted to
start. Ah, hence the name.
Yeah.
Now, the student, way back then, when you started that band, how old were you guys?
I was 16.
I joined this summer right after I turned 18. And Baker here is...
I was just like the band...
Baker wasn't in the band.
I was the groupie, except...
He replaced the old bassist from the Stuno.
I guess. Yeah.
But you were probably at some age then.
Yeah, I was 15. Okay. I guess. Yeah, 15. There
you
go.
So now way fast forward.
How old
are you, Baker?
16.
Yeah, whoa. Mike?
17.
And 18.
Yeah.
There we go.
So, you know, eons, ages, past, eras, epochs. And there's a big difference between the Song of the Whales and the Stunads.
Yeah.
The Stunads were... Well,
whose place did Baker take?
Fatty.
So Fatty was the bass man.
Fatty was the bass man.
Okay, yeah. What happened to Fatty? Scissors?
I don't know.
He's a different music taste.
Oh, yeah. Music taste.
Artistic difference. Irreconcilable difference.
More like stubbornness and
petty little shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Girlfriend.
The real story.
Anyway, we kind of got tired of playing all this like hardcore shit. So, like, we, I don't know, just started listening to a bunch of different influences and stuff like that, and we just kind of want to make our own kind of thing.
But getting the Stunad together, I hate to go way back, but that was your first band.
Well, no, I was actually in another band with Fatty and our other friend way back when, but that was, I don't know, just kind of...
So Stunads was your second band?
Yeah, actually.
How did you get going on the guitar right away? You made a band?
Well, no, actually in like the fourth grade I started playing guitar and I had like a couple years of lessons and then I just kind of kicked the lessons because I feel like I learned more on my own, you know? Just...
You didn't know other music peoples then?
What do you mean?
Cats at school.
Oh, not really. Not a lot of people play, you know? Like these days, I don't know.
Really?
Just kind of, not a lot of people play stuff.
So everyone says they play it when they're really
young. I was going to ask about the young Pedro music scene.
There's not a lot, actually.
There's not a lot of young people doing it.
Not young.
How'd you get on bass, Baker?
Actually, I've known Mikey here since, like, way, way back. We got in elementary school together and stuff. And I didn't, like, play any instruments, and I saw him playing guitar, and then he kind of started to teach me.
Baker play guitar.
So I played guitar for a while, and then they said
then
that they
you
needed.
Saw the light.
Yeah. Then they said they needed a bass player, so I picked up a bass. And I was like, "This is pretty cool." And then ever since then, I just been playing bass.
Yeah, in the old days, that's how a lot of guys got on bass because everybody else was on guitar.
Yeah. Right. There's more options.
The drums? How long?
This is my fifth or sixth year, I believe. I got a set for Christmas. My parents just decided to get me one on impulse, and it was probably the best thing they've ever done.
Did you ask for it?
I asked for a snare drum, actually, because I was into all that tricky snare stuff at the time. But, no, I got a whole set, so not just a snare. Cymbals and hi-hat and bass.
Got you.
Yeah.
Changed. I wish I had parents.
That's not like
the
old days.
My dad said I can learn any instrument but the drums.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Usually you get drum set for somebody down the street. No, that's very cool. Supportive. Yeah.
I know. Very supportive.
So, not really too long after you start playing, you guys make a band. That's great.
Mm, yeah.
Did you start writing songs right away, or did you...
Well, when I started playing guitar?
No, he's talking about the band right now.
Off records.
Oh, what?
Well, you said you did some lessons.
Oh, yeah. Like, I started lessons in, like, fifth grade, probably, for, like, a couple
years. Did you start writing songs, or did you, like, play off records?
No, I was just kind of like, like that. Okay, you know, I didn't start really making my own stuff until...
So, when you got the band together, you started Philly...
What?
So when you started the Stoonads, you were writing your first song.
Well, not really, actually. We were writing songs in our band before that and stuff. Actually, ever since I started playing guitar.
You had a band before?
Yeah.
Stoonads.
Yeah.
Oh, with Fatty.
Yeah.
Fatty. What was that called?
It was called Burden on Society.
Burden Dog?
Burden on Society.
Oh, Burden on Society.
Yeah. Oh,
is it hardcore?
Actually, what?
Was it hardcore?
No.
Because in the old days, that would have been perfect hardcore band name.
Yeah. It was actually... I'm really ashamed of being in that band now. I was really sad. It's just kind of like...
Why?
Because we used to listen to like...
Yeah, but
Green
look,
Day,
everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
we used to, right?
Yeah.
You know?
It was just kind of like...
Everything's awkward.
Childish.
You don't know what to do.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, nobody comes out of the gate. Although, I think Stephen Drow is the guy in Flaming Lips. He told me he's playing drums in his dad's band when he was... 6.
Yeah, actually, my
little Ricky kind of action. 6 years old, he's doing gigs with his pop. I told him I couldn't fucking remember what I was doing.
That's cute.
And amazing. So, don't be ashamed.
No, I'm not ashamed. I'm just like, I don't like. I hate. You know when you hear old stuff you make and you're like, ah.
Oh, you have tapes of it?
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, we have like.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't have tapes in my house. Terrible. I still do terrible stuff.
Actually, yeah, ever since I started playing guitar, I've always been, jamming with my dad because he plays drums, so.
Yeah.
Just kind of,
That's probably where you got picked up on music, huh?
Yeah, just like my dad. Ever since I was a little kid, he would play like.
But you wanted to be a drummer.
Actually, I started playing, I played drums before I played guitar. Ah. Because my dad would teach me, just because he was a drummer his whole life, so. I could play the drums and stuff like that, but I always wanted to play the guitar. So
your first song's in the Burden
of
Society?
Well, pretty much, yeah.
And then Stu Nodge write more songs?
Well, yeah, we had a different singer and stuff like that. And,
right.
I don't know,
and Fatty, now, Song of the Whales? These tunes?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested. There's no Pedro Young People scene. Because there is a Pedro music scene.
Yeah, there
Raul.
Is. There is.
Now he just had his birthday.
And Mike, while you were out,
he's 31 years old, so he's an older guy now, I guess.
Where did they?
He still looks young. He still looks pretty young.
He does. But there's a scene around the casinos.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, a lot of them aren't even from Pedro. They moved here from Torrance, from Orange County. And it was over on I don't know if you guys know 4th Street and Gaffey. There was a whole scene there. Called it Porchcore. Yeah, because they'd hang out on the porch. It was like 2 or 3 houses together. Now it's one. In fact, one of the houses is still there. Danny Lou and Aaron White lived there. And there was a. Didn't you go? There was a gig there a month ago?
Where?
At the porch court.
I'm just talking about. Sorry.
Don't recall.
Well, I thought I saw you there, but. Did you go, Brother Man?
No, not a month ago.
You were there on Halloween?
Yeah.
But they're still having gigs there sometimes.
That's what I was curious. What, the places where a band could play for underage...
No, it's a house.
Back in your day, there were places.
This is a house.
But, I mean, where could they play shows? At the house.
But this is what this scene was about. They'd have gigs to... bands coming from out of town. Like it was a tour stop. In fact, Raul told me about them doing tours. They don't play hardly any clubs. The whole tour is... Pads.
Some kind of deal like where they shut down the street and then charge people like $12 to get in?
No, it's a pad.
Okay.
Actually, pad in the living room or in the backyard.
On the couch. That's where couch
now, what they do now is they bring their own records and shirts. It's
right,
different. They're on tour, but they're just not playing clubs.
That's good. They don't get burned by the club,
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. In fact, there was one on 13th Street for a few years. That's what some of the people moved over. And Chuck Treese, and Ray Barbie, skaters, and our musicians, we taped a television show there. It was Ray Barbie's idea because he liked this. He said, Pedro had this spirit of do-it-yourself, self-reliance. So he wanted to film the thing in a club. And he said, no, man, let's do it. One of these pads.
Gabby pad, right?
Yeah, that's where Gabby lived.
Yeah.
In fact, they played.
So whereabouts was this located?
They were called. It was with Anna and Angela. I can't remember their name, but they actually played too. They were filmed. It's 13th and Gaff a year next to the, used to be a Midas.
Yeah, 13th Pacific is the.
Yeah, 13th Pacific. Sorry. And so maybe that was just a fail. That didn't carry on. None of your buddies did this?
What? Make bands and stuff.
Oh, no, not a lot. Rigs and pads and.
Nobody really plays.
Well, you're all probably all still living at home still.
Yeah.
So you play like a lot of parties around town?
Yeah, this band's actually relatively new. We just started in like December or January.
Well, shows what about Stunads?
Stunads, we had backyard shows, lots of DiPiazzas.
Yeah,
we actually opened up for you once, if you remember.
Yeah, I didn't know you were called Stunads.
Yeah. So I think you were with Fire of Hell. I'm trying to remember what band you were with.
It was
Hellrider. Hellrider, not.
Because Fire Hose was probably around when you were born.
Yeah.
It was Hellride.
I was getting my kayak out of the boat to go paddling, and Mike came up and told me about playing with.
Oh yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah, way back.
Yeah, you know, decades ago, man.
Months ago. No, but I was getting the kayak out of the boat.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We should have one conversation.
Yes.
And I was getting out of the boat. Mike comes up to me. He sees me. And. You remember, Joel, I play with a lot of bands, so sometimes it's not disrespect, it's just hard to remember.
Yeah, it's,
And then I also knew about, you know, Pete and Johnny, you know, this made the connection. And that's a great thing, man, because, you know, my pop was a sailor. Nobody's. Pop was in bands and stuff. Yeah, you know, they're all in boats in Vietnam and fucked up. So I think it's a. Really interesting. And we're going to play a song now. Maybe what, a month or two ago this was recorded?
Yeah, I'd say about a month.
It's
called Transcendental.
Oh, no, it's called...
Emerson Was a Badass.
Yeah, it's called Emerson Was a Badass.
Then why is it called... Yeah. Then why did Pete tell Transcendental?
Well, because I think he had that written on the... I think he had that written on the Pro Tools on the... On the program.
Yeah, but why did you write it there?
Well, because I don't think we had a name for it yet.
We didn't have a name for it. You know how every band will have like a nickname for a song and may not be the full
name?
Before
you make
it. We used to call it Transcendental because the whole purpose of the song is it's all
the words. The words in the song.
Title.
Yeah, it was quotes from Ralph Waldo Emerson, the romantic poet, right? Yeah, so,
The there's Transcendental movie.
Right. Yeah. So, we call it Transcendental, but.
Intelligent young man.
Yes. Big influence, like the Minutemen.
Well, but, I'm glad we think so.
Yeah, well, now it's Emerson Was a Badass.
Yeah, okay.
Just the words in the song are actually...
They're very relative, I understand.
Yeah.
But that's what he wrote on the CD.
Yes.
So that's why I call it that. So here's a Song of the Whales.
No!
Things as a way that might get us there. floating in the water. The sharks and maybe the pay. The sharks to fill the vacuum. A replacement for something to say.
What from Pever show? That was Emerson was a badass.
Yeah.
Formerly Transcendental from Song of the Whales. Then we heard Sex with an Invalid by Coma and Algiers, and Bipolar Bear by Henry Bruce. Good Gray Ghost by Indian Style. Hippie Hip Smile by In the Weeds, and Dead Sharks by Jute Blue. And we're at the end of the first hour of the Watt from Pedro show, March 15, 2009. Hold tight for hour two. March 15, 2009. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. I'm back here with Song of the Whales. And I got to ask you, where did you get the name?
Well, at first it took a really long time to find a name, but we decided that we were going to watch, you know, one of our favorite movies, The Big Lebowski. And we were going to decide on something from there.
Pick something out of the movie and just like, all right, that's it.
You like that movie?
Yeah, that's like...
Yeah, we all.
That's
yeah.
like our favorite movie.
The band's favorite movie.
Pretty much. Because if anybody remembers the scene where he's like sitting in the bathtub and he's like smoking roach.
Yeah.
And he's listening to like whale sounds on a tape recorder.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you look on the tape, it says Song of the Whales. And we're like, there you go.
Wow. So. Yeah, good connection.
It's just kind of like ridiculous. We're just, you know, why not have a ridiculous name just to go with a ridiculous.
Yeah.
The great Sunken City scene in that flick.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Flinging the dude's ashes.
Donnie's
in the
ashes.
Folgers.
Yeah.
Not too far from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
Is where I grew up. That Amy Mann is one of the Nazi, you know, terrorists. And, shut the fuck up, Donnie. But I just wanted an In-N-Out burger. Classic.
Yeah, so, gigs. Is it tough being in high school and trying to play gigs? Because a lot of pads are bars.
Yeah, it is.
You got the fucked up.
I have some experience with that, because I was in a band not too long ago with a bunch of 20 and 30-year-olds. I was like the 17-year-old kid, and... Actually, one of the gigs, they wouldn't let us play just because I was too young. And even though that's against the law, if you're 18, I mean, if you're under 21, you're allowed to play the gig just for
the
gig.
Stage.
Yeah, and then be out of the bar, right? But, I don't know, this night they're just being nasty to us and not letting me in. But tons of places where we can't play.
Baseball stadiums, they sell beer.
Yeah.
There's kids. It's just bullshit. I really hate these laws.
Totally.
Okay, make it illegal to sell them beer, of course. But let people get into music. Bullshit.
I did hear that La Conga is now...
Levels. No, now it's the Chop House.
Now, yeah,
Chop
every
House.
Month it's something different now.
7th Street Chop House?
Who knows? But anyways, now the second story is an all-ages venue. Even though there's still a bar space up there, they're going to let all the bands play there. So,
yeah,
I wanted to call you people out there.
Year, under the different names over the years.
Stab City at the Chop House. That has a nice name to it.
Yeah. Stab City will probably... They played Harold's. Stab City has a residency this month at Old Town Pub in Pasadena, and they asked me to play one of them. And so this, a few days ago, was the first Missing Man reactivation gig. And it was interesting. I mean, for Tom, it was probably the toughest because he doesn't play as much in between. Raul, you know, Killer Dreamer, Drinker Purgatory, and I play my several bands. But Tom had the layoff, so he had the maybe tougher time. But he did a lot better Friday at the Panic Room, some pad in Hollywood, and Boulevard and Western.
Oh, wait. We played there.
Really?
That's actually my friend's house.
No, it's a different Panic Room. Oh, really? Yeah, this is in Hollywood.
Never mind. Yeah, I'm not paying attention.
Western Avenue, and it's like brand new. It just opened. Good. It was benefit for us, Clay Wilson. But the lady putting it on worked so hard, and people at that pad were taking advantage and giving her grief.
Really?
I met a cat named Barbital Bob. This man, 75-year-old cat, who hung out with the Beats. He's an artist, friend of Charlie Plymell's. So it was interesting. I forgot him playing. The band after us, the bass player didn't bring an amp. So I've used plenty of people's amps, you know. So I said, sure, you can use mine. So I was talking to Barbital Bob about things. And interesting man. Talking about those days. Knew Neil Cassidy and had some pretty amazing impersonations.
I'd like to see that.
Cassidy.
The staccato.
And he talked about being with Keezy in the bus. And yeah, so sometimes I'm not always the oldest dude. Sometimes there's older dudes.
Yeah, still cool, going strong.
Yeah. It was wild. I'm glad he came. And S. Clay Wilson, he's a comic book artist from the 60s. Old friend of Charlie's too, and they don't know what happened. You know, he was on the deck outside the street with a concussion. Maybe he fell, or maybe somebody robbed him. I don't know. Nobody knows what's happened, but he's up in a hospital in San Francisco and needs help. And trippy art. I don't know if you've ever seen his stuff, but the checkered demon and.
Sort of
amazing guy.
An influence on Crumb, right?
Well, what Barbital Bob told me was Crumb was some young guy hanging around with the little pad. And so maybe he was influenced. But he had his own thing going, too, I think. Because he's in the first Zap Comics. And Charlie Plymell published the first Zap Comics. So it's kind of a... I remember seeing those things as a teenager. The Zap comics and reading them, and they're hilarious, but I didn't know of any of the culture. I didn't really know about hippies.
Yeah,
I was only a teenager.
Huh? Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers.
Right. It's part of it. Mr. Natural.
Weed will get you through times of no money better than money will get you through times of no money.
Yeah, remember how many people had that poster in their bedroom, right? The eyes dripping out of the edge.
Yeah, I got one of those posters in my bathroom.
Do you? Yeah, in those days they were ubiquitous. That means everywhere.
My dad still has a few of those comics laying around somewhere.
Really? Yeah, they were a trip. I remember, but I didn't know of the culture that came out of. I didn't know anything of the scene. I was just here in Pedro, you know. I'm coming to learn this stuff now by meeting some of the people. Charlie lived with Cassidy in Ginsburg, in San Francisco. That's amazing.
I would love to hear some of those stories. I forgot to go on the real bus, not the one.
Well, him and Barbital Bob were actually from Cassidy, not from the coast. They're from
Denver.
No, they were Cassidy was, but Midwest Plains. Mm-hmm. They're from Kansas, Wichita.
Something going on in Kansas. I mean, where did
Burroughs
live in Lawrence all those years?
This cat, Barbital Bob, knew Burroughs too. Interesting. And they heard of Pedro. They told me they heard of Pedro and Bukowski. Roxy Powell, a friend of Charlie's, actually shipped out of here, Mercer Marine and stuff. Charlie worked on the docks in San Francisco. So these guys were, you know, the working guys too, and artists. The Beat people were, they were smart people, but their backgrounds weren't so much academia, you know. And for me, it's very interesting to hear from the source, huh? Sort of like being around the Stooges. I got some lucky opportunities. Uh, So I'm interested, though, with no real scene. You don't have friend bands in Pedro.
Not really.
We kind of had friend punk bands way back when we were in the Stunons.
Yeah, way.
Way back.
Actually, there was
they got beards, and their children have their children's children have beards.
But not yet for this band.
But not
we
yet.
Have to make alliances.
No, like, no, there's like no one our age, really.
Yeah. So, you know, but I've known this about humans. Things come in cycles.
Mm.
Right. And you would think that, like, Minutemen days, right? It would just keep growing and then, you know, but it, actually I didn't even know about Raul and the hissing until Vinny Vegas turned me on to them. I didn't even know that was going on in my own town.
Yeah.
Because of the age difference and me being on tour and out a lot. But there, before them, there really wasn't anything in the Minutemen. So it was a down cycle and they brought this scene in and maybe Pedro's back in a down.
A bad economy helps. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Because people are more crafty and upset about things.
The Raul thing started in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There's like, who else plays? Cover bands and stuff like that, but like nothing. No one makes.
Like in high school, nobody talks about music and bands.
Well,
it's all about rap nowadays in high school.
Yeah.
Rap?
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't hear anything about.
But is there rap bands in Pedro?
No.
So they're just talking about
rap. It's all DJs playing, you know, whatever DJs. Big rap stars out there.
Okay.
Yeah, like my dad always tells me stories about when he was in high school and he would go to parties and they'd have a band play at the party, you know? Like,
yeah.
Now, like,
no one does that.
Bands don't play at parties, it's just a DJ.
What is that band, Jurassic 5?
Yeah, I know.
There's a guy named Charlie Tuna?
Yeah, I know him.
He lived in Pedro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a rapper from Pedro. I mean, this is a few years ago. He's a cool cat. That's a good band.
Yeah.
He's got good skills. No
he's
cuss.
He's doing well now.
Charlie Tuna, KHJ, this is Grand's honor.
Well, he was in the...
Charlie Tuna was a DJ, he's a different cat.
He was also in also Motley, he also was a pretty renowned graffiti artist.
Is that right?
Oh, am I... Yeah, well, Taggers. Yeah. That's where his Charlie Tuna name comes from, I think.
Well, there was a... In fact, the company is Pedro, called Chicken of the Sea.
No, Starkist.
Starkist, is that?
Yeah.
It's best tuna.
Well, they're both companies are from Pedro.
Yeah.
But one of them had a mascot for branding named Charlie Tuna.
Nah, I just want tuna.
They want tunas that taste good.
Yeah.
It was like a
ratchet
mark. They don't want tunas with good taste. They want tunas that taste good.
Yeah, that's right. That was it. The tag. The tagline. Okay, let's play some music.
Supposed to act. Stop. massacre your golden fleece. Take a break and slake celestial thirst with ambrosia brewed by Le Baron Simitière. Cut it! Cut it! With your cherubim and seraphim, with your chainsaw gun and condescend to look down and have a laugh at the pygmies of Poulton. You designed yourself pulsating and stroked by the hedge. Shine from the raining down for the translucent gliders of gold and as sacrificial virgin pilots, never to reach on them, biting the dust and ashes of your minds. Golden black menials, reach for the sky. Cut it. Cut it. Cut it.
Stop playing with my heart, finish my-
From Pedro Show, and we just heard something from a band called Four Dimensional Nightmare, and he sent me this song. It's called Deboon's Brain. Yeah, it's a trippy song. think my people got a hold of Charlie or something. So he pointed them in my way, I guess. Before that, we had the Flaming Lips, something new from them, with a couple other bands. It was Expando version. Stardeath and the White Dwarfs, and they're doing a cover of Madonna's Borderline, which is kind of trippy. And then before that, we heard Cut It by Blurt. Blurt goes way back. They're from England in maybe 1980 or something. Song with the Fall. And Divine Horseman, the one with John Doe and Bill Bateman. Yeah. It was Dave Alvin, too, on the guitar. Yeah, Divine Horseman. I've always been Chris D, but he's had different people with him.
He had a good viola player.
What was that album called? It was a hand with candles on the fingers. A Minute to Pray, A Second to Die, or something.
Yeah. That was Flesh Eaters.
That's right, yeah. He called it Flesh Eaters then, yeah. So it ain't Divine. And The Fall, where he turned around the whole gig. Marky Smith wouldn't look at anybody, staring out his kick drum. But Blurt was this cat, Ted Milton, with his brother on guitar and a drummer. I can't remember his name. I think both those guys are gone now. He's got a new drummer and guitar. But he was a puppeteer. He just said, I'm going to get into music. Tito LaRiva, too, from the Plugs, was a puppeteer. Maybe there's a connection between puppeteers and punk. And then we started off with a band from Belgium called AA and a song called The Shot.
I got it.
I think that was from 1982. That was from way back, too. Way back.
Shot by AA.
Speaking about way back, you know, the Minutemen started in January of 1980. And we had a band before that, actually, called The Reactionaries.
Yeah, I know about it. Yeah.
And that's where I wrote my first song. Well, I wrote one song as a teenager. But, you know, these are pretty bad songs. But for some reason, Craig Ibarra, he got a bunch of Pedro cats together, and they're going to cover all those. We had a practice cassette with 10 songs on it. It's the only thing we ever recorded in Georgie Shed, 17th Street High School. And they're going to cover all 10 songs with different people, different lineups. And me and Georgie are involved with a couple. They wanted me to play bass on one song and then sing another one. And I think Georgie's going to play drums on a song. And there was a song called 1979. You know, The Clash had one called 1977, so we had to call 79, I guess. That's what they want to call the album. Well, that's kind of trippy. Talk about bears. Hopefully they do better versions. So you record these 9 songs with Pete Maisich.
Yeah.
And you gonna pick some and make an album out of it, or an EP, or something?
We're probably just gonna keep them all in there and keep. They're not like some of them aren't finished, you know. Like we just don't really know what we're gonna do, and we're just gonna keep going and recording more stuff.
Just record on
impulse, like put it out.
Maybe eventually we'll put.
Yeah, we're gonna put. I don't know how we're gonna put it out though. Like, how do we go about that? You know what I mean? Like
why you go to the CD place and pay for them?
Right. Yes.
Or start burning them.
Yeah, that's what we did before. We would just
make demos, hand them out at school,
you know, or just
paper cases.
Put them, get a website, put them up there for download. Yeah. Since people are putting them on the iPod or whatever player anyway. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways. I think it's easier to get your stuff out.
Well, it's on MySpace. We got those 4 songs on MySpace right now.
Okay. So. Well, what I'm leading to is a tour. Maybe summertime when school's out.
Well, yeah, some shows. You know.
You guys drive?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got a van?
I got
got a Nova,
a Jeep, a Nova, and a
yeah. You can't tour. Can I give you a little advice?
Buy a van.
If you want a tour,
actually,
you're
gonna my dad's
do it
got a Nova.
It ain't gonna be a tour.
Jeep, sure.
My dad's got a minivan.
Yeah, you got a van.
Chevy Astro minivan.
No, you need space in the back.
Pig nose. No, yeah, the drum set's gonna bogart half that.
Yeah, that's true.
Most of it. But
we just need somewhere to play, you know, first.
Well, yeah. Sometimes I'm telling you this because sometimes the local situation is so lame.
Yeah.
Why not cave in other towns? You know, bring it to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what you. And touring's a whole adventure. In fact, just traveling, you know.
Yeah.
Have you guys been out of Pedro?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Such as, oh, I've been to Australia, even South awesome. America. So. We were in Costa Rica this summer, me and Baker and our friends.
Wow. That's great. Pedro guys.
Yeah.
That's new. Because old day Pedro guys didn't do shit like that.
We went to Costa Rica to surf.
No, where is Costa Rica?
Costa Rica is great for surf.
Tamarindo. Tamarindo.
Tamarindo.
You know, all around Playa Negra. And
all right. Haven't been to Manzanillo at all.
We didn't make it down there.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's great, you're getting around.
Mm-hmm. That actually influenced...
Because Torn was the only way we could get around.
Right.
Yeah, how'd you get the bones up to go?
Oh, my parents, like, were going, and they're like, hey, let me take some of my friends, so...
Great. Yeah.
Then you're from PV, then, really. All right.
Excuse me?
Because Pete brought a friend, another couch surfing person, and... Couchsurfing.com is a website where people travel around Ikado. Sort of what the bands did in the old days and still do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Conking up people's paths. Mm. And you're intent on an introduction.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, sure. I brought Jared, who lives in L.A. This is the second layer of couchsurfing, where it's a community-type organization where people get together for whatever one activity or
social
whatever.
Community.
Social, like, yeah, and it's over forums we can talk about where you know, people want to go somewhere, we all get together and do things and whatnot. And and Jared, I think I mentioned in the last show, he's the person who I've been in touch with because he's
knowledgeable
in cars. And not only that, I swear, he's one of the most interesting people I've met lately. He's like, his knowledge is just like, it's endless. And we've been fascinated over common interests of music and just abstract ideas and thoughts, and we can talk forever about all kinds of things, and ended up that your name came up, Mike, and he's like, he totally knows who you are, and I'm like, hey, let's just come to the show.
Yeah, I'm kind of tripping on that myself.
So
what about those new BMW made Mini Coopers?
No, they're excellent.
You like them?
He has one.
Yeah, basically we're using it as the test bed for doing a book called 101 Projects for your Mini Cooper. And I've been working with this.
You've ever been in the old England Mini Coopers?
Oh, yeah, I've driven.
And now, how do you compare?
Much safer.
A little more power.
Yeah, a little bit more power, but you get those little 1275s just tuned right, man. And
yeah, they have some little sleds.
Yeah.
Tiny wheels. But yeah, the big seam on the hatch.
Oh yeah.
There was something else. There was a couple of them around town in Pedro.
Apparently, there are guys that are, like, importing them now, and they're putting Honda Type R engines into them.
Wow.
So you're talking, like, 220 horsepower on a car that weighs, what, 1,800 pounds?
Even that, if that. I think a bug was 1,800 pounds.
Just about that, yeah.
Wow. So you get her ship shape, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to get that thing all sorted out.
Because maybe she got a lemon. She's had trouble since day one with this.
Well, on the way over here, I was just sort of instructing her that she really needs to learn how to drive.
Oh, so it's pilot air.
I'm sorry, you cut off.
It's pilot air.
Okay, that's cool.
No, it's all good. I mean, I
so this is Trip, a kind of acute couch surfing, where you couch surf in your own... Oh, no, this is the community layer.
Yeah, the community.
You're not really on a couch tour right now.
No. In fact, we're actually setting up a place in Santa Monica right now that's going to be a designated couchsurfing house.
Yeah.
Really?
It's insane. There's three of them got together and rented a house to be like a central.
Yeah.
For L.A.
SoCal.
Yeah.
And I think we're still kind of getting everything unpacked, and right now all we have basically is a floor. So, we're going to get
all you need. Cocksack. You said. Wow. You guys know about this, couchsurfing.com?
Never heard of it.
No, actually.
Pete's brought over two groups of people.
It's like, do you know anything about kind of like communal living, like the whole kind of 60s mentality?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, sort of a modern, updated, electronic version of it, you might say.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, the way they connect. But yeah. The dynamic is kind of like the bands. You come to people's houses.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we've had to, she's brought two groups of people because she's made her pad into one of the things. It's a website where you're going to make a trip. You go and you check out these possibilities.
Oh, and you can stay at those
references.
Places.
That God, make sure you're safe. Make sure that's safe.
That's pretty cool.
And people travel around. Econo. We had a cat from Italy, a cat from Denmark, one from England. One from Maine.
Chicago.
Portland, Maine. Wow, Chicago, cool. Illinois. So, yeah, I'm really into this idea of people going places and meeting other people.
Yeah.
Because it's something really great that I found through music because of the tour of life. But this is just go out and do it. You don't even need a band. You know, they've got a whole situation now that what Peak's saying, it's grown another layer where they're making little communities within this. So it's great. Something as cold and sterile as stupid pewters and internet and people making real.
It can do great things and it can do horrible things.
It's like the television. Yeah. You know? It could deliver such good stuff, but it's just this shit spouter.
Well, that's what I figured, that the future is going to go back to something more organic. You know, you have to base back to people and connection to keep these kind of, you know, technologies going. Or, well, it becomes that anyway, because that's what people really want.
Things centralized, some people want. Because there's some money to be made or something, power to be had. And so another dynamic is decentralized and parallel universes.
Right.
And Wheels Within Wheels, this was old punk scene. We didn't feel we fit in with the rock and roll that was going. So we made our own scene. These cats couldn't even play. They didn't care. We're going to learn how to play in front of each other and take turns.
Yeah.
And that's where the scene came from, you know. Some crazy pictures of people dressing up in England and garage bands.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was kind of curious about people at high school, somewhere in a down cycle, right?
It's just kind of sad.
But you guys, maybe it is, but you know, you're doing something.
Yeah.
So that's good. Mm-hmm. And you know, by getting on the internet, there's other bands. And
there's
things.
A lot, yeah.
Pedro
yeah.
sometimes gets a little slow, but she'll catch up and get back in the race. And maybe what you're doing now is your fertilizer.
Yeah.
Wait.
I think it means that in a good way, Anne.
I like to say it's feeding or something.
Pioneers for the next generation.
this.
some good spin cycle, Brother Matt. And augmented by Song of the Whale.
Bonus.
Bonus. And that's the end of the second hour, March 15, 2008, Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. March 15, 2008, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. And Baker's got to say bye.
Bye, Baker.
Bye, Baker.
Adios.
Good having you aboard,
yeah,
Baker.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me. Safe season.
We're dead
base.
Thank you.
I will.
Okay.
Andrew Baker.
they'll know the process starts to grow. I must not let them know, so conscious in control, the process starts to grow. We'll be right back.
Watt from Pedro show. Started off the third hour, well, with the farewell to Baker. And then we heard Mini Rockers from Atabisi Shank out of Tokyo. And then Water and Earth with a song called Water and Earth. It's their theme song from Tokyo, too. And then somebody from Florida called Snore. Good band from there. And a song called Elevator V1. You know what a V1 is?
Vengeance bomb? Weapon 1.
Yeah, it was terrible. Scary elevator ride. The Nazis used it in the Second War.
Yeah.
Like, nobody flew them. You just launched them.
All right.
When they ran out of gas, he just fell on whoever. That terror weapon.
Vengeance weapon.
Yeah. I guess for vengeance. Then we heard Shrag, something from England, with a song called 45 45s. You guys get 45s? You ever get 7 inches? You have a record player?
Oh, I don't. Joey has. Yeah, see, like
CDs and MP3s nowadays.
Yeah, I know, I know. But
Joey got a record player, and
there's still a 7-inch thing.
No. Yeah.
What? I was jamming to the Animals on record last night.
In fact, Raul, their last record came out vinyl before there was a CD. So it's still happening.
I remember showing my sister once one of those adapters that you used to put on.
They called a little hole.
And she had like no idea what it was at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens. Things get lost. But other people, you know, They clung to them. In fact, you can spend many $1,000s on turntables if you want. Bob, we ain't heard much from you.
Kind of quiet.
Yeah, what's up?
Kind of one of those weeks where, you know, you just kind of off yourself. But I don't know. Been a couple of years since my dog Wrigley was put down 2 years ago today. And, you know, she was kind of the anchor through tough times. This dog was so smart that it had several different barks, and one of them, I could say, "Hey, Wrigley, I'm on the phone. Just stop." And the other dog, Echo, he's having some physical problems. I took him out to the park. He'd blown out his ACL. And, well, he was doing better, and now I took him out, and it's shot again. You can't really fix it unless you want to spend $2,500, so he's got some other issues with Cushing's.
Look at this. I was pedaling this morning, and I saw a lady walking a dog there on Paseo Del Mar, and there was two wheels attached to the back of the
dog. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little wagon puck.
Chihuahuas, they have problems with their back legs a lot. That's not a
Great thing. Danes, too.
Yeah.
Displays you.
The dogs will It's from the inbreeding.
No, this is like both of hip problems and stuff, so they have to drag.
But what's sad with this guy is he wants to go and run and chase the ball. That's his pleasure in life. And so on the way there, the pleasure was so good, and I didn't really throw it for him. But now he wants to, you know, he's a pit bull mix. So, I mean, he wants to jump down hard, and now that he's, the shoulders can't absorb what the other can't, so, you know.
Maybe some wheels.
But they're sweet when they get old, you know. I wish they could stay there. It's kind of like really nice.
Get him some Knox gelatin and put it in his food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I heard they're going to open, like, retirement homes for animals, for pets.
Really?
Brilliant idea. Like the old folks home and make it fun. You're onto something. We've got to talk about that. There's places where the real estate is there. And it's
they have them for chimpanzees.
Yeah. They haven't been getting too much good press lately, though, haven't
they? Chimps? They can go wild.
Well, you know, you got to know what you're dealing with. You know,
they can go wild.
A loaded weapon in the house, you got to be mindful.
No. Oh, they'll just tear your balls off. They don't need a gun.
There's people thinking that they can tame them.
Yeah. Big jaws. They're fierce. Oh, yeah. Fierce.
And they go for your balls first. Yeah. Or something like that.
One of them tried to steal my sunglasses in Costa Rica.
Oh,
I had throwing shit at me at the zoo when I was younger.
Well, that's
wild. Well, yeah, I had shit thrown at me when I was older playing, too. But not by sharks. By humans.
Do you remember Jungle Land at all?
Yeah. Yeah, no. You mean where... Out in Thousand Oaks?
Thousand Oaks, where I grew up. Like way before...
Lion Country Safari was in Orange County. Was it something like
Warfrey
that?
Long.
Was it Anheuser-Busch Gardens?
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember that. They had penguins. They, in fact, the school took us a field trip, and the brewery had penguins.
Really?
Yeah, by the way, kids, you know, here's the penguins.
But this was
here's
the Jungle
here's
Land
here's
with wild
dogs. What was it like?
We didn't actually go there because it wasn't controlled. I mean, Lion Country Safari came on later down in Irvine, close to where Irvine Meadows is. And
it's the same place.
Even that place was scary until the one time they had Grace Jones play there, and supposedly she scared the hell out of all the animals. doing Demolition Man or something.
That's a
but
joke.
Demolition Man is another we don't want to go back to, you know.
Let's play some music.
Thinking of you. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. That was I Fell Through by Mr. Meeble. And then In a Mist by Bix Beiderbecke. It was his birthday last week. And that's trippy because he's known as trumpet player, but that's him on piano with the composition of his.
That one for my mom.
And then Oh My by Ameta and the Soundsmith. Before that, Love Poem by Sandra. And we started with Bee in the Garden by Mayu Luka. Hard for what to say. Mayu Luka, sorry. Rubbing aside. So you've been having the animal thing. Jared.
Yeah.
What got you into cars? That's something that was big when I was young.
I guess the main thing is I sort of inherited my grandfather's 914 when I turned 16.
Porsche.
Yep.
And mid-engine.
Yep.
Kind of like Volkswagen.
Actually, it is a Volkswagen.
Built by car factory, yeah. There was big ones. There were six-cylinder ones.
Oh, I know them quite well.
Incredible. And working on them must have been something else because they had just this little access panel.
Well, you know,
it was a nightmare, right?
For me, I've always been do-it-yourself. My dad is basically the king of Econo.
But like Volkswagens and Porsches, well, Porsche had the big fan housing, but at least it was hanging off the back end there.
Oh, yeah.
The 914 being mid-engine, maybe one of the first mid-engines.
Yeah, well, for a production car anyway.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of access to that motor, man.
For just about everything on it, you got to take the engine out. But I've got it down to the point where I can get the engine.
Oh, you
out
still have it?
No, I don't still have it. But I've worked on enough of them that I can get the engine and the transmission.
It was also a bad time because of the smog laws. They had to move to fuel injection, and some of those early fuel injections.
They're not that bad. I mean, I answer tech questions all the time from people like, "How do I keep this thing running?"
Yeah.
So
I remember in the day when they were out because I had Volkswagens in the 70s. And mine were all carbed. They were all oldies.
So
they were all in the 60s, so I never had to deal with that. But I had to work on some other people's in the...
Well, what have you done? What were you doing on them?
I had to get them going. The fuel injection things were nightmares. They went through several different systems.
So you
and a lot of the problems were just... well, man, the early things, they had little mechanical, not even all electronic.
You've worked on MFI?
You know, the little cups that would...
The synchrometers, yeah.
Synchrometers, right. I mean, it's nightmares.
Yeah, I make my own.
And they were Bosch units.
Mm-hmm.
But just bad ground.
More or less, yeah.
Would fail a lot of those systems. It was... I mean, I'm glad for the stronger smog laws because Bob will tell you what it was like in the older days.
Oh, I remember.
Bob grew up at the foothills.
From a quarter mile away.
And how many days of no activity at school?
Over 100 a year that were over 200 or 300, where now you have one or two days that are even 150 parts per billion.
So people complain about the smog law, but they actually worked.
I remember
because they cleaned stuff up.
I remember walking on Dockweiler Beach when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And my mom would actually have to peel the tar off the bottom of my feet afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Same with Bolsa Chica.
Jump. Oh, jump. 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 I am job. Yes. Proud of those who smell the sewer. But it's too strong.
Watt for Pedro show. We just heard Fragment by Programmer Unit and Replicant Job by Rituale Atomico, two bands from Italy. And, well, we're at the end of another edition of Watt from Pedro show, so I want to thank my guest, Sean. You didn't say much,
no,
but
I didn't.
She was here. Mike, where's
Will is right there.
Will, thanks for coming aboard.
Oh, thank you.
Jared, much respect.
Thank you.
Pete, for bringing him.
Thanks.
I'm sorry he didn't say the things you wanted him
to. Well, hey, man, you started talking about cars. You
she
know?
Thought the turn to boy, the talk. What about Shirley Muldowney?
What about her?
Drag race lady?
Yeah, cha-cha.
Yeah. Did you ever see drag races? I saw those a lot when I was a boy.
I did do stuff at Pomona, but that was kind of like all gone by the time I grew up.
Irwindale, Lions. And then there was something in Gardena called, it wasn't drag races, but it was called...
You talking Ascot?
Ascot.
Okay.
Academia.
I was in Dominguez Hills, wasn't I?
They used to have speedway racing, though.
No, it was like Gardena.
You got me talking about...
J.C. Academia.
He used to say, where are the 405 and...
Harbor Freeways collide.
It's right where the Goodyear blimp is, right?
Kind of. That was on the east side. It was on the. It was just west of the freeway. You could see it from the freeway.
Okay, I think it was probably long.
So Dominguez Hills is east of the freeway.
Yeah. Well, I don't purport to know that area. Just as the Inland Empire.
That's fine.
And the, you know,
it's fine.
And Gabriel. Well, I bet on the blimp. I got to go up there for an
hour. How did you get on
over
there?
The California 500.
How did you get on there?
Bob, we got to end the show.
No, this is like a weird childhood obsession of mine. I've got.
Yeah, I know, but when we pull the plug, you guys can wrap.
Scissor.
Bob, thanks for being aboard. Brother Matt, always for your essential aiding and abetting. This has been the Ides of March edition, March 15, 2009, Watt from Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.